Philadelphia Union, San Jose Earthquakes, United, Los Angeles Galaxy,
Beach Pass,
Colorado Rapids, Vancouver Whitecaps, Orlando City SC, Montreal Impact, NYCFC, Seattle Sounders.
Pitch Pass, your all-access credential to the people that matter in MLS. Here's your host, Greg Roach.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Pitch Pass. Thank you very much for the download, as always. Thank you very much for spreading the word, as always. Are we still doing the iTunes thing? Are you subscribing through iTunes? Okay, if you are, please leave a comment, rate the show, spread your link of iTunes. I don't even know what I'm talking about because I don't do iTunes anymore. But if you do, we want you to rate the show, please. That's just a small favor we ask for this free show. Later on, we'll talk LAFC with Alicia Rodriguez of the GOAT Parade from SB Nation. But first, we'll go west, but to the northwest, to Seattle, where the Sounders have come off a three-game road trip that was very, very fruitful, culminating with a big win over Vancouver Whitecaps in Vancouver. The man who scored a brace for the Sounders in that match, Chad Barrett. He joins us right now. Chad, how are you, my friend?
Bro, Chad, I got Chad Barrett on the other line. It's Caulfield again, but Garth Lagerwey quickly wanted to say hello.
Oh, he did he?
How you doing, man? We gotta reunite here sometime.
Garth, what do you do? Just hang out around the grounds and just waiting to say hello to people on the phone?
I hang around Alice. I mean, because all stars just come to his shadow. It's like a black hole.
Well, he's always the coolest guy in the room. So I understand why you want to hang out with Alex.
Yeah. Hey, we need to get him on the show soon. But I'm gonna get Barrett for you here, Roach. Okay?
All right, good talking to you, Garth. We'll get on soon.
You're
Chad, how are you, man?
Hey, Roach, how's it going?
It's going really well. I just talked to your GM, so I'm sorry that we were a little delayed in talking to you. I didn't know Garth was gonna be just hanging around.
Oh, no worries, no worries. I've been busy myself.
Well, you know, let's start there, because I feel like you're getting a little vibe as to what, like, say, Vinny Chase from Entourage, his everyday life is with you, getting pulled in all these different directions this week.
That's kind of funny you mention that, because I'm actually on an Entourage marathon kick right now in wake of the movie, or because of the movie coming out, I'm rewatching all the seasons, so that's kind of funny you brought that up, but it's been kind of crazy, you know. I think I've got a glimpse into the life of Oba and Clint. You know, I go from not playing much and not having much of an impact at the beginning of the season to, you know, filling in for injured Oba. And, you know, had a good week, and, you know, it's been kind of crazy.
You know, it's, and I would love to just talk about that all day, but something that just stuck out to me, you're rewatching Entourage, correct?
Rewatching, yeah.
Were there some subtleties in the first viewing that you're thinking you're going to pick up in the second time?
No, it had been so long. I remember I watched it in college, so that was I think the last time I watched the Entourage was probably about 5 years ago. So I'm really excited about the movie coming out. Ari Gold's one of my favorite characters of all time, and so I'm just rewatching it, kind of getting laughs that I got back when I watched it the first time.
How does it hold up on a second viewing?
It doesn't disappoint, you know. Ari Gold, you know, it's always,
of course,
always fun to hear somebody yell at somebody else, you know. So, and he does it better than anybody, so it's kind of funny to watch. And I enjoy it.
Ari Gold doing his thing, Vinny getting in and out of stuff, and naked girls. That sounds rewatchable to me.
Yeah, not bad.
So I saw that you accompanied Clint when he threw out the first pitch at a Mariners game. Was it Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
In this scenario, are you E to his Vinny during that part of the week?
I don't know. Like, I was a little bit everything, but the I guess I was. Yeah, I was making sure that he wasn't going to embarrass himself. I was making sure he was going to throw a strike, and, you know, lo and behold, he got up there and he probably threw about 50 or 60 pitches. He got up there and threw a strike right down the middle of the nice pitch.
50 or 60 pitches. That's ice down worthy.
I know. I told him he came in the next day and he said his shoulder was hurting. I was like, you got to put ice on that right after that kind of performance. So he knows for next time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that means there's going to be a next time, which is also exciting. It's funny because you see athletes who then have to go and pitch or throw out a first pitch. They'll do it in front of the mound, or the throw will be really, really, you know, this guy never throws. Clint had he's got a nice arm on him, and he did it from the mound.
Oh, no, he did it from the mound. You know, he doesn't take shortcuts, you know. I think he's competitive. He wants to show everybody he's not just a one-trick pony. And, you know, he got up there and from Felix Hernandez. I know, I think Felix was getting ready to. I saw him loosening up, doing some stretching before the pitch. Thinking maybe it was going to be wild. It was right down the middle. He didn't have to move.
Great. It was a great throw. And, you know, you mentioned playing behind Clint and Oba. And, you know, they're the star strikers, not just for Sounders, but in the league. What's it been like for you playing with those guys and working with those guys in practice?
I mean, everybody kind of sees it. You know, hey, you know, Chad might have a chip on his shoulder or some kind of grudge against Oba or Dempsey. And that's couldn't be further from the truth. You know, me and those two, like, you know, I know, like you said, they're not just the best players, you know, two of the best players on our team. They're two of the best players in the whole league. And, you know, playing behind them isn't easy, that's for sure. But at the same time, you know, we're winning games. We're playing really well. I know that I'm going to get my chance with the international calls and stuff like that. So it's one of those things where I have to wait my time. But when I do, you know, play, I got to make sure that I make it worth it.
How gratifying, exhilarating, what were some of the words that were coming into your head as you look back on that match versus Whitecaps and being able to come in, step in, and pop two in?
I'd say it's about time. it was about 6 months since I scored my last goal. I think it was against Portland. And, it's frustrating when you don't score, and it's frustrating you don't hit the back of the net all the time. And I want to say it was a little bit of a relief. You know, it's kind of that monkey off the back type thing. Now I can settle down, start playing my game again, and really put my best foot forward.
How much lead up time do you have when you're doing this? We knew Oba was going to be out. Siggy's mentioned this week that he probably will be out again on Saturday versus Sporting Kansas City. When does Siggy come to you and go, hey, man, be ready. This looks like it's going to happen, and you're going to need to step up again.
Well, the first time around, he told me, I think he knew Wednesday, but he told me Thursday. And that was kind of a quick one. Oba had him in practicing, obviously, but that happens all the time where they'll keep a starter out just to give him a little bit of time off, especially when they've been playing almost every single minute the first 2 months of the season. So sometimes that'll happen. But, you know, he came up to me on Thursday. He said I was going to be playing, and I was like, okay. So it was kind of a little bit of a surprise, but not really. And then this week, he hasn't said anything to me about anything when it comes to that. But, you know, I've been filling in with the starting team. I've been taking all those reps, and, you know, always still on sideline right now. So I've been able to prepare a little bit better. Obviously, I'm a little bit, you know, I have that 70 minutes in me, which is good. And, you know, just hydration-wise and all that stuff, and my diet and all that stuff has just changed, tweaked a little bit.
You're known as a locker room guy throughout MLS. For people who are outside the locker room, I'm not sure what that means. Do you try to be a locker room guy, or are you just more yourself, and it just so happens that you just have one of those personalities that people gravitate towards? What does it mean to be a good locker room guy, and what makes you such a good locker room guy?
I mean, I really couldn't tell you what makes me such a good locker room guy. I'm sure I do a little bit of it all, you know. I piss people off, I make people laugh, I, you know, mess around with people, you know. It's just, it's all part of the fun of it, you know. In the first couple of years, you don't really know how to act in the locker room and what's okay, what's not. And then when you get to 30, it's just like when you get, become an elderly person, you just don't care anymore. You're like, okay, well, I'm just going to say what I want. So
I like that you said when you get to 30 as if you've been 30 for the last 3 years. You just turned 30 less than a month ago, Chad.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's the way your body feels. I felt 32 for a couple years now. So.
Well, we have Tally Hall on next week. He also just turned 30. So I would like to compare your two responses. So what was it like when you hit the dirty 30? And how did you celebrate? And what does it feel like now that you've hit that mark?
It was kind of the same as my response to the game. It was kind of a relief. I was relieved that I made it through my 20s. I think my mom was a little surprised. She was like, wow, you made it to 30. I can't believe it. You know, it's and the party was just me and my dog hanging out at home, relaxing. Way different from my 20s.
Exactly.
My 21st. But yeah, you know, it's just, you just get a little bit older. It's not about the quantity of times you have anymore. It's about the quality.
Spoken like a guy who can't go as late and as hard as he used to be able to go.
That's for sure.
So I saw a tweet of yours last week coming back from Columbus, and I know there was it was one of those half truths, half tongue in cheek, but really the subtext was it'd be nice if this was changing. And the one I'm referring to is your flight back from Columbus. So first, walk us through what happened on that flight back and all the trials and tribulations that you guys went through.
Apparently there was some mix up with the league. We use a travel agency that every team uses the same travel agency, and they messed up the booking somehow on our flight home, and our flight home was supposed to take around 12 hours the day after the game, which is something that you never want your players to have to go through, you know, just because that's terrible for the legs, and it affects the next couple of days of practice. One of our administrators just worked his tail off the whole weekend of the flights, and we showed up, and then showed up at like, we woke up at like 5, showed up, the plane was delayed until 12, so we spent 6 hours at the Columbus Airport, then we flew to Chicago, spent another 5-hour layover there, and then another 5-hour trip home, and ended up taking about 18 hours to get home, and something that we were fighting for in the CBA was, chartered flights, or at least a couple chartered flights a year, or, something like that, for the teams like Columbus and SKC, who don't have connected. They have to connect every single time they fly out, which is, terrible. We don't like traveling. But as long as it's one trip, nonstop, then it's okay. So it was just kind of one of those things. I was a little bit delirious at the time, but nothing was going my way, so I was just like, CBA fail.
Wait, it was
kind of a half-hearted joke, but at the same time, man, you're right. It has a little bit of truth to it.
Yeah, and, the last I had heard about charters and flights within the league was that you could do it like once or twice throughout the season, or maybe it's when you're not playing MLS teams you can use charters. That's kind of one of those things in the CBA that a lot of people didn't talk about, and it was something that you guys had kind of pushed for and didn't get.
Yeah, we pushed for a lot of things, and I think that when it comes to that, more being one of the things of convenience rather than
yes.
importance takes a back seat to the real issues that we tried to fight for in the CBA. And that was kind of something that we were hoping that they would give us as kind of a compromise, and obviously didn't work. And I know that we have a couple saved up. Those are saved for the CCL games. The teams that are in the CCL, those are saved for the CCL games because you play those games midweek and you have to fly 3,000 miles south.
Yeah.
And then back, so it's, and then if you had to go through the regular channels, you would take 2, maybe 3 stops to get there.
It's got to be frustrating, and I understand why you just can't let everybody do it, because if some teams don't do it or will claim they can't afford to do it while other teams do it every time, that's an unfair advantage. But I agree. I mean, there couldn't be a way where we could get 5 charter flights in season built into this CBA?
I think that may be something that's going to be in the next one or the one after that. It's obviously it's hard to say what goes on in the room when you're not in it, but it's definitely from an outsider perspective with general knowledge of what's going on, it seems like something that would be worth fighting for because of what we went through in Columbus, just as one example.
Agreed. I saw some pictures of you and some of your teammates doing some sightseeing during your road trip that you guys were on. You said you are kind of a sightseer. You like to go and see these cities that you're in. I'm assuming that these aren't intense sightseeing tours. So what are some of the best cities for lazy sightseers to go and see?
I would have to, New York obviously is, it's not really my city, but it's a great city to go around and see a lot of the American history, the Freedom Tower, the Central Park, Grand Central, all that stuff, Times Square, it was kind of it's stretching our legs before the game and also a sightseeing type thing and touristy type thing. So that's obvious for one, obviously. The one, I'd say my favorite one to go to would be Chicago. I had a great time when I was there, and it's a great city. It has a little bit of everything, whatever you want. It has a little bit of lake life, downtown life, and then kind of like the bar, Wrigleyville type scene. And just a really cool place to go and walk through that city. You really can't get You really can't get bored.
Yeah, and so you're walking just to get the legs some blood into the legs before a match, but you need to be close enough to the hotel where you're not walking 7 miles to see something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's better about MLS today is that we actually have, you know, we're actually staying downtown. You know, there was times where, you know, the away team was coming to play, they're staying at Midway Airport in Chicago, 20 minutes outside the city, and it's good to have the guys inside the city. That way, they're close to restaurants, they're close to anything that they might need. If they need to send off something, if they need to do anything, they can do it. And at the same time, if they don't have anything and they just want to go around and they want to walk around and see stuff, and you know, it's better, you know, to be in the city than out.
What do you get for being MLS Player of the Week? Is it some sort of trophy, some sort of plaque, a ribbon that you can send to your mother so she can hang on your wall?
I get a lot of sarcasm from the rest of the team. Oh, okay. Everything I do now is, oh, okay, MLS Player of the Week said do this, so we have to do it. And I'm like, yeah. You know, so I know that they're, you know, super supportive. You know, they just give me a hard time. So it's, you know, it's the locker room. It's what comes with the territory, and it's never a bad thing to do good things, and it's always, you know, good to hear praise, but it's funnier from the guys that know me best.
Well, but your mom can't hang sarcasm in the trophy case, Chad.
Oh, but yeah, well, she's a little bit different. My mom actually moved out of Panama in December.
Oh!
So she was waiting for this for 10 years, and then as she moved out of Panama, and I finally got it. So
she lives in Panama. She's got to be kind of looking at the CCL draw with a lot more interest than maybe other MLS parents, because that could be a trip to you, to her.
Oh, absolutely. And then she'll probably kidnap me and tell me to stay. And, but no, she'll be back up in August for the rainy season. So she'll come up and see a couple games. And, you know, hopefully I'm still performing well and, you know, playing significant minutes.
Yeah. And Chad, congratulations. No sarcasm on the MLS Player of the Week. And thank you for taking some time out of your very Vinny Chase-like schedule this week to talk with us. I appreciate it.
No problem, Roach. Thanks for having me.
That's Sounders forward Chad Barrett. Chad did some time in L.A. You remember his stint with the Galaxy. You know, there's another team in L.A. Well, there was another team in L.A., and then there will be another team in L.A. starting in 2018. Let's talk about the non-Galaxy Los Angeles teams right now with a writer for SB Nation's The Goat Parade. She is at Soccer Musings on Twitter, and she is Alicia Rodriguez in real life. Alicia, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very well. It's hard for me. Let's start at the present and then work our way back to the last year or so of your life, which has probably been kind of crazy as far as soccer is concerned. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, that's certainly an accurate statement. I would say so in more ways than one.
So we'll start with LAFC and the big announcement that happened the beginning of this week as we record, and that is the stadium deal. I've obviously read a lot of your stuff on the Goat Parade, and one of the things that kind of caught me was your column, your article about the urban or the downtown setting for the stadium. And to me, I thought it was always just a slam dunk when we hear about an MLS stadium being in downtown, whatever city it is. Now, I'm not completely familiar with LA. I know it's a sprawling city, but your article kind of suggested that maybe it's not always a slam dunk. How does that apply to LAFC, and what would be some of the downsides of it being where it is?
So one of the reasons why I wrote that article was I wanted to bring up, you know, just the question of the urban strategy as being kind of the guiding force. And I think overall it's probably the right approach for MLS stadiums. I mean, it seems like most, if not all, of the ones that have been built in, you know, within urban locations seem to be doing pretty well in recent years. So that's a good sign. But I see Los Angeles as kind of akin to Houston in some respects, as far as being a really sprawling city. This stadium's not going to be strictly downtown. It's going to be a few miles away from kind of that, you know, skyscraper core of downtown of Los Angeles, but it's not that far away. And as far as kind of understanding the geography of the area, it's still in a very urban area, and it's very close to a number of freeways, which is obviously one of the appeals of having it in that location. But, you know, I wonder how it's going to break, you know, shake out, and it's going to be interesting to see. I think a lot of people have been pretty excited about the fact that there is a lot of public transit options in that region as well, and one would project that they'll probably get better in the next few years. And that's been one of the issues with the StubHub Center in Carson, the Galaxy Stadium, is that the public transit options are considerably more limited, and most people really do have to drive to that stadium to get there. For LAFC Stadium, we may find that a large proportion, perhaps, who knows, maybe even a majority of those attending the game will be taking public transit to get there. So that's going to be pretty exciting to see. But, you know, my question is just if this approach is applicable for all cities, and in the case of Los Angeles, they're a little bit different than I think, you know, the likes of Portland and Seattle as far as their urban planning is concerned. And that will probably have an impact on how the stadium does in some respects.
Yeah, and it's a great point, and you did mention in reference in your article about how concentrated downtown Seattle is, downtown Portland is, as opposed to Houston, which you mentioned, and then also L.A. Does that affect, or at least in your opinion, does that affect what kind of fan LAFC might be going after or might be able to draw?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think it's kind of a two-pronged answer. I think on one hand, obviously, they want to appeal to as many people as possible and just to get, you know, draw as wide of a base as they can and try and get, you know, obviously they're competing for an existing team that's been very successful in the market. So, you know, they have their work cut out for them, certainly. And it's going to be interesting to see the ways in which they, you know, kind of target their marketing. But yeah, having the stadium located within the city limits, I think, is a really big deal. That's something that the owners talked about, you know, quite extensively. And I think that makes a difference. Obviously, the region is huge, and you know, there's that tension between, you know, Angels fans and Dodgers fans, and you know, there are Angels fans in Los Angeles, but a lot of Angels fans are obviously outside of the city limits, and you know, the Dodgers are more or less king within the city. We may find a similar dynamic between these two MLS clubs in the years to come. But yeah, I think there's going to be certainly outreach towards parts of the potential fans who have not really been approached so far by the Galaxy and were not targeted to regarding Chivas USA either.
So if we're trying to gauge our expectations, the upside absolutely is public transportation, but we shouldn't expect march to the match style scenes like we see in Cascadia.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different. I think the team wants to have an atmosphere like that, and they said that part of the stadium complex, they want to have restaurants and you know, kind of build a little bit of a community, kind of help revitalize that area, which I think is really, in many respects, pretty laudable. Something that's pretty cool if they can pull it off. I think that's really exciting for that area of Los Angeles. It's going to be pretty ambitious though, and the culture, you know, isn't quite there yet in LA. But as we saw in Seattle, it wasn't like Seattle had been doing that in the mid '90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was something that was pretty recent to when the team actually entered MLS. And so, if they can get something going pretty quickly, then who knows? Maybe there'll be a march to the match around the Coliseum area over by USC, which is right across the street, and you know, find some sort of club tradition, either something that's pretty similar to what they're doing in Seattle or something uniquely LAFC. We'll have to see on that.
We, in your intro to introducing you, we mentioned that you cover basically LA non-Galaxy soccer. But sure. I am interested to hear your reaction as somebody who covered Chivas, didn't really cover Galaxy, so I'm assuming you're a fan of the Chivas and will be a fan of the LAFC franchise rather than the Galaxy franchise. So I'm curious to know what your reaction was to the Galaxy's reaction about the stadium announcement. In my opinion, I took it as, wow, they actually, I felt like they felt some pressure to say something, which is a great thing moving forward for whatever this rivalry derby is going to be.
Yeah, I felt pretty similarly. I mean, obviously the Galaxy has a lot of people working for them, and you know, somebody pointed out that I think a podcast I was listening to you know, the stickers that were placed around the sports arena, you know, for the Galaxy, or we don't know necessarily if they were put there by employees of the team, that sort of thing. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it was, you know, humorous. It was funny that they wanted to make sure that they were still in the conversation on a day that was obviously pretty a banner day for the new team that obviously won't begin playing for a few more years yet. But I think that's good. I mean, obviously, if they're stepping up their game, then hopefully that means that LAFC needs to be on top of their game as well in order to compete in the market, in order to compete on the field, off the field, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, because it always felt to me as an outsider looking at Super Classico or anytime Galaxy, when they decided to talk or mention Chivas, it was always little brother pat the head going, okay, go ahead. Whereas this time it was like, oh, these guys, we need to treat these guys with a little bit more respect because we don't want to get blindsided or we don't want to be caught with our pants down when they actually launch and become a team.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think by the end of Chivas USA's years and hanging around, I mean, the Galaxy's thought of them as a complete non-entity, and the fact that they're making these efforts, coming up with star maps, putting stickers around the site of the stadium announcement, means that they're at least paying attention, and there's some sort of worry. I mean, I wouldn't say that they're in a panic or anything like that, but they're definitely know that something's coming, and they need to be watching out for what's ahead. And that, I think, bodes really well for the rivalry and for building up something between the new club and the original club.
So, two-prong question, and it both has to do with the buzz for LAFC in LA. First, what's the buzz amongst the soccer community? You know, the people who not mainstream, but the people who care about soccer, fans or people who cover the sport in Los Angeles. And then what is the buzz, if there is any, in mainstream media or just like the random person on the street?
Yeah, I think, I'll tackle that second question first. I think the mainstream attention has been pretty limited, with the exception of the day that they announced that they were, going to be an extension team back in October, and then Monday when they announced the stadium deal, the night before or the day of the announcement, they got the front page of the LA Times. Obviously, building a stadium in the city limits of Los Angeles, in an environment where public support for a stadium is a non-starter. And being able to say that they're going to do it completely privately funded, that's a pretty popular thing around here. And so that's something that I think people are pretty receptive to. So that got them a lot of buzz. And the fact that they have a really star-studded, people have talked a lot about the very many owners that the team has at this point. I mean, they're up to 24. But there's a lot of people who are very famous or part of that group. And when you don't have a team put together and you don't have a product on the field, having some of the, most famous and, like with Magic Johnson alone, he's one of the most iconic Angelinos around and somebody who's very well regarded in a variety of capacities. Having him on your side is something that's going to at least get a little bit of attention mainstream. And then when you talk about the soccer fans, I think within MLS, it's a little more complicated, obviously, because of this sort of triangle of teams, the Galaxy, which was an original that still exists, obviously, and has a good, solid fan base already. Those who were Chivas USA fans, those who were very much not Chivas USA fans. And my inclination is that probably a pretty fair proportion of the fan base for LAFC is going to turn out to be people who are not into MLS until, recently, until the next couple of years. They may not be MLS fans yet, and they're going to come to the team fresh. I have a feeling that's going to be a pretty big push on the part of the team to try and get those who are fans of European teams and other international teams, as well as the U.S. national team, really engaged in MLS and follow LAFC as their team and kind of come to it fresh. So that's that's probably that's my inclination as far as how it's going to go. But again, we'll have to see how it shakes out.
Of course. And this is obviously all speculation. That is kind of interesting, though, because at least my first reaction to that comment is, well, if why aren't they LA Galaxy fans if they're trying to get people fresh from fresh MLS fans who weren't fans of teams and maybe are European fans or South American fans? Why weren't they fans of LA Galaxy? And what is LAFC going to do that the Galaxy didn't do to get those fans? I mean, and obviously there's no answer to that question, but that's the first thing that came to my head when you mentioned that, which is an interesting strategy.
I think the location of the stadium is going to make a difference for some people. I don't think it's going to be a huge proportion, but I think there will be a small proportion of Galaxy fans who will say, I live way closer to this new stadium, so I'm just going to follow this team now. Obviously, they're not the most diehard, most likely, but there's going to be a small amount of them. I think there's going to be people who say, hey, I don't have to drive all the way to Carson anymore. Great. You know, that'll be good. But I wouldn't say that's necessarily going to be the bulk of the motivation for most fans. I think it's going to be one of many, most likely.
What in people that you've talked to who are Chivas USA fans, is it basically en masse over to LAFC, or did they only get a percentage of Chivas USA fans and the other Chivas USA fans are kind of going to be in limbo to see how everything shakes out?
Yeah, I think I think the supporters groups overall are en masse moving over to LAFC. I think a fair amount of the diehard fans who were with Chivas USA to the end are probably also going to go to LAFC. But I wouldn't discount the large proportion of fans who were with the team during the good years and then during the long slide from, 2010 to 2014 till they folded. The team lost a lot of fans over those years. And I think, I've talked to quite a few of them that they turned their back on the team before the team even went away. And they were really soured on MLS. And I think some of those people may kind of wait and see. And, if LAFC gets off the ground pretty well and they start doing well, having a competitive team, that sort of thing, some of those people may come back into the fold relatively easily. I think there's some people though who probably are going to stay away from MLS for a while. And, given some of the turmoil, I don't necessarily fault him for that position, certainly.
Which is kind of a scary thing that I don't think people talk about, and that is, because it's such a unique situation, not just in MLS, but it feels like in sports, even when you have American sports where teams move away, it's always years and years and years before they get an expansion team where they come back, and it's never guaranteed. This is one of those things where you knew when your team went away that another team was going in, and you had to make the decision based on that. But I personally never thought about the person who just soured on MLS and maybe said to themselves, I don't care about this league anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about kind of the total market potential, the vast market that Los Angeles and Southern California are, frankly, that proportion probably isn't that large. It's probably numbers in the several thousands at most. So I don't necessarily know if MLS or LAFC are going to make a huge push to really try and bring them back. I think they're going to try and make an effort, but I don't think it's going to be we're begging you to come back.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do that. I mean, I think the big thing with LAFC is they've made it extremely clear that they don't want anything to do with Chivas USA. So obviously, I think they're willing to, they want to have, Chivas USA fans who've been spurned to bring them into the fold and have them be supporters for sure. But I don't think they're going to be jumping through hoops to bring those who've been disillusioned with MLS as a result of what happened with Chivas USA. They'll give it an effort. And if it's not there, it's not there. And they just have to move on, I think.
You mentioned LAFC kind of turning their back on anything Chivas USA. And the thing that, people in the soccer community have kind of questioned is the soccer academy. You're one of the best people to ask about this. How big of a mistake do you think it is that LAFC is kind of turning their back on the Chivas USA academy, which was pretty well regarded in MLS circles?
Yeah, I mean, even despite a considerable amount of turnover with the coaching staff and the leadership of the academy, I mean, they were really doing some great things. And In those final years of the franchise's existence, the academy was kind of rising higher and higher, and the real strong point of the organization overall. I think it's a shame. I mean, I've made it pretty clear in my writing that I really think that they could have hit the ground running as far as youth development and integrating, the coaching staff of Chivas USA's Lame Duck Academy, and, you know, really kind of gotten a head start, and maybe within a year or two of playing in MLS, actually been able to, sign a homegrown player and have that person see some minutes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be a priority. And, you know, on a rational level, I completely respect what the club's doing in wanting to make a clean break. But from a practical perspective and from a soccer perspective, and especially seeing, you know, when we're talking about territory and youth development, the bulk of the academy is now going to go to LA Galaxy because the influential coach who's there right now is going to the Galaxy when the season ends. That's putting them even further behind. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were the only team, MLS team in the market, but because they're competing with another one that's got a strong academy and has been signing a lot of homegrown players, seems like a missed opportunity. That's my opinion.
And it's great, the LA Galaxy, they obviously need the talent infusion. So that's awesome as a fan of MLS, another team. I can't wait for them to have more homegrown talent coming through their
ranks. Of course.
What is it like being a fan in limbo?
It's weird.
Exactly.
It's really weird. I'm a pretty passionate sports fan. I've long been, and you know, where I grew up, I followed all the teams. No teams have moved, and this is a really unique and interesting situation. And like you said, I mean, I think the fact that the expansion team is coming right after, there's obviously a gap in between, but having that to look forward to of a team coming and building itself, there's some hope. There's some excitement for sure. But I remember, you know, leading into the season, that week leading up to the first game of the season this year, it was hard. I mean, it was really hard on a personal level to see everybody be so excited about their teams and will this be the year for us?
Yeah.
And, you know, getting the road trips ready and all that sort of thing and being on the outside looking in. I mean, it was weird. Like I said, weird.
You know, in a way, and this will lead to my next question, but in a way, it is one of those situations where you think to yourself, oh, well, maybe they're in a holding pattern and it's going to be hard for them to generate any passion out of the box for this team that didn't exist when they're still kind of going through the loss of their old team. But then you think to yourself, after 3 years, you're just going to be happy to yell and scream and cheer on a team, and you'll have that to look forward to.
Yeah, and I think, with the end of Chivas USA, I mean, it was a really dysfunctional organization by the end, not necessarily with the league's ownership of it. I mean, they were just in a holding pattern by that point, but the time that Jorge Vergara and his wife were in charge, the only owners, I mean, it was just really poorly run. No marketing, obviously slashing all costs to the bone. And the fans were really upset about that. And one thing that I've noticed since the season has started is that among LAFC fans, those who are going to move over to become LAFC fans and those who kind of are waiting and seeing or turning their backs on MLS for the time being or permanently, people are kind of over Chivas USA for now. And maybe in 5 years we can kind of look back and at the few good times, obviously they had some good years, but, the final years were really pretty poor overall. You can look back maybe with some nostalgia, and I'm sure that some of the merch will be pretty popular one day. But
yeah.
I think there's a lot of burnout and a lot of people who are upset, obviously, that the team is gone, but also I think there's a sense of relief in some respects that you don't have to put up with a terrible team and that's badly managed on a weekly basis anymore, frankly.
So I'm a DC United fan. So, and I would assume people who are fans of other MLS teams look at the fan base of Chivas USA and they're kind of conflicted because it's like, oh, well, that's sad. But you know what? It was a poorly run team and now you get a fresh start. But also it kind of stinks because that's the team you invested in. So the question, Alicia, and you can speak for all Chivas USA fans, how should we non-Chivas USA MLS fans feel for you? What feeling should we have?
Wow, that's a big question. You know, I'll say this. When I started writing about the team, I started writing on a regular basis about Chivas USA in 2011. So they're already on their slide. And on a daily basis, I mean, the comments on social media, sometimes the comments that were on my articles were really negative about the team and the fact that the team had no fans. And, of course, you know, that was the running joke. And then, of course, as time went on, they got fewer and fewer fans, of course. You know, and what's a Chivas USA fan? I've never seen one before. Ha ha. And just terrible jokes. Racism. I mean, just a lot of abuse. And then on top of that, having to put up with a terrible team, it could be really tough at times to be a fan of that club. I think that partly drove the remaining fans and supporters together because they were so under siege from so many other people.
Yeah.
And it really, I think, developed a sense of community, if nothing else. But over time, I think as people became more prominent, you know, about the club and a few of us got our names out there and really kind of made sure that Chivas USA remained on the radar of MLS in some capacity, you know, on a regular basis, I think a lot of, you know, not everybody, there were still jokes to the end and they were pretty easy jokes to make and still a fair amount of abuse, but I think a lot more people seem, at least with their interactions with me, seem to become much more sympathetic.
Yeah.
And understanding of kind of the context and, you know, how difficult it was and the fact that their team was definitely not as bad as our team was. You know, there was no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference. So, there's a difference between having like a Seattle Portland. They hate each other, but they need each other to hate each other.
When right.
And if you don't have that other team to hate, or it becomes less fulfilling as a fan when you go, oh, these are just mean insults now because this team is leaving. Like these people don't have a team anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the abuse has kind of tapered off, and I think people generally feel, at least in my interactions, it seems like people tend to feel pretty sad about the situation overall. They may agree with the move to close the team, but for those who were there to the end, it's a pretty depressing situation and something that I don't think anybody really wants to go through personally. So that's good. I mean, I think that's kind of the attitude to have is, yeah, I mean, it didn't work out and it's pretty disappointing. You know, no matter what your thoughts were about the project, about the management of it, that sort of thing, but I think for all of us concerned, it seems like we're at a moment right now where everybody wants to look forward, and maybe that's the best thing.
Alicia is a prolific writer at Soccer Musings, if you'd like to follow her on Twitter. In fact, she's probably a must-follow if you want to follow L.A. non-Galaxy soccer. What happens to the Goat Parade moving forward?
Well, the good news was when the rumors first came down about the team folding, I talked to my boss at SB Nation, and he was really supportive. He said that if I wanted to keep the site going, we will keep the site going. And I think the fact that obviously we have a team to look forward to, although it's going to be a long time, you know, from a writer's perspective, it's a long time. But you know, we're still in it, and we're going to keep covering LAFC. We've been doing a lot of coverage of the OC Blues, the local USL team. And I think with the fact that that partnership with MLS has really increased over the last couple of years, it was a no-brainer to do anyway. So I'm really glad we're having the opportunity to cover that team. I mean, I know it's a little more niche, but we did niche before with one of the most niche MLS teams. So we may as well keep it going. And, you know, I think just really trying to, like you said, do our best to cover the LA soccer scene beyond the Galaxy because they get a fair amount of coverage. And we want to shine a light on some of the other teams in the area.
Alicia, so as you mentioned, I'm in D.C. It looks like it's 2018 for our stadium as well. Is it our stadium first or your stadium first?
Oh, as far as which one opens first?
Which one do you would you put money on now?
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't even know all the intricacies of, you know, local politics in general, but I just know that the bureaucracies of L.A. and D.C. respectively
exactly.
are really pretty tangled. So for
fun, just between the two of us, who's sitting in their brand new stadium first, me or you?
I think L.A.
Oh, come on!
I think there is more political support of the stadium at present out here. So.
Okay. All right. So now I've got to wait for like three more openings before I get my opening, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, hopefully it'll be at the same time. You know,
it'd be nice.
Season, everybody will be thrilled. But
it's hard to play the sympathy.
It's
hard to play a sympathy card, Alicia, when you are talking to a Chivas USA fan. So, you know what? I should stop doing the woe is me stuff and just say, you know what? You deserve your stadium first. So hopefully you're sitting in your stadium first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's going to be amazing when D.C. gets their own stadium and, kind of a legacy of the league is going to be fulfilled with having them, you know, have a home of their own that's going to be new and shiny and you know, without the animals and falling concrete and whatnot that comes with RFK.
It's true. It's true. Alicia Rodriguez, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking some time and make sure you check her out. Is it thegoparade.com?
Yes.
TheGoParade.com for all of her writings, and thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate having a chance to chat.
Pass. This is your voice. This is my red, white, and blue. This is my anthem to you. For more show information, go to PitchPass.com.